mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, being able to afford the down payment is one of the biggest hurdles for first-time home buyers, but not the only one. In fact, it's often the hidden costs that can derail the American dream. Also this morning, we have details on September events at the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library and the just-announced Community Read selection for this spring. Sarah Clevidence will be here to tell us what's happening. And it's Clear the Shelters Month to encourage animal adoption. The Hancock County Humane Society has plenty of pets waiting for new homes. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. So with the weather turning cooler, noticeably cooler, at least over the past few days, we start to look forward to autumn and the change of the seasons and all of that. And I know it's bittersweet to say goodbye to summer, but the one thing that we will not miss are the bugs. I don't know if you knew this or not, but yesterday was World Mosquito Day, and Dr. Christopher Bazzoli of the Cleveland Clinic says, for World Mosquito Day, actually put this, they put this out in the Cleveland Clinic. Mosquitoes are actually attracted to some of us more than others. I think we kind of inherently knew that, but there is scientific evidence that proves that is the case. And Dr. Bazzoli says it has to do with the body heat and carbon dioxide we give off. But that's not all. He says the odor we emit is also a factor, and since that is based in genetics, there is not much we can do about it. When we talk about odors, I mean, obviously you want to shower, you want to be clean, right? But that's not enough. Washing off the stink ain't enough to wash off what may attract bugs to you. What we can control is our lifestyle and environment. The Cleveland Clinic recommends using mosquito repellent, wearing loose clothes, avoid standing water, drinking less alcohol, and applying anti-itch cream if you have been bitten to reduce the risk of infection. It is kind of interesting, speaking of mosquitoes, 28% of adults in a new survey say that is the most annoying part of summer. You ask, what's the most annoying part of the summer season? What will you miss the least? Mosquitoes, top of the list with 28%. Sweating and excessive heat, sunburn, and ticks are all even less annoying than are the mosquitoes. And they also asked in the same survey, what would you rather do than be covered in bug bites? What would you be willing to do if you could never be covered in skeeter bites again? 49%, nearly half, would stand in an outdoor ticket line for hours. Standing in line for hours. 44% said they would spend a month without social media. Some of us would do that anyway. And 41% say that they would actually go even further than that, spend a month with no internet access at all. So that's how much we hate mosquitoes in our lives. There's always got to be something to be worried about, fearful of, concerned with. There's always got to be a depressing story in the news. And here is today's item among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. According to a new Gallup poll, 1 in 5 American workers say that they are lonely. Are we lonely? That's 1 in 5. And that's 1 in 5 people who work, you know, in an office or at a work. Among those who work remotely, that number jumps to 1 in 4. And the CDC even has warned of the dangers of an epidemic of loneliness gripping the country. But if you are, here's the good news. If you are among that group, the good news is there's an app for that. Several, in fact. The Washington Post profiled a collection of apps seeking to bring people together. Not dating apps, just to give lonely people a little FaceTime. And FaceTime, that app, is not one of them. The Breakfast is one application. It arranges meetups between people seeking some companionship, not romantic companionship, but just, you know, companionship. An ad on YouTube notes you can meet with someone who can eventually be your workout partner, someone to hear your budding stand-up routine, or someone to meet just because for small talk. And this is a growth industry. The Post notes that the dating app Bumble recently acquired Geneva, which is an app designed not for you to find that special someone, just someone. And the CEO said, we are hearing from users that they are feeling lonely and disconnected, and this is a way to connect people. Let's see here. The co-founder and CEO of Time Left, Maxime Barbier, was also quoted in the Post story. Her app arranges midweek dinners for groups of six people or more, and it is live in over 170 cities and 37 countries. She said people are craving something that is not a dating app. However you find that someone, the CDC notes your mental health will be better for it. They say those who are lonely run the risk of health problems from depression and even early death. So there is help if you are feeling lonely. Well, just thought that was kind of interesting there. Maybe one of the reasons why we are increasingly lonely is that our population is dying out, apparently. The annual number of U.S. births has declined by 2% since last year. According to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the annual number of births in the United States has decreased overall by 17% since peaking in 2007. By 17% since 2007. The general fertility rate has dropped by 21% over that time. Altogether, there were 3,596,017 births recorded in the U.S. last year, with a number totaling 3,667,758 in 2022. CDC data has also found that fewer women received proper care while pregnant this past year as compared to the year before. And the number of women who received prenatal care during the first trimester of pregnancy dropped by 1%. The number of women who received no prenatal care at all increased by 5%. We are dying out. Talk about stories that we'll have to be fearful of, and doom and gloom stories. That's one of them. The human race apparently is dying out. Let's see. Couple of other items here among the first things you need to know this morning. You remember the story, and we've had a couple of stories of seagulls, aggressive seagulls on the beach. People are vacationing, and they get their food stolen by aggressive seagulls, scavengers on the beach. We had a couple of these stories. The one guy who actually hunted down and killed the seagull who stole his daughter's fries. Well, that's taking it to an extreme, but at Hawkins Barbecue, a food truck located in the UK. It's on one of the beaches along the Isle of Man in the UK. Hawkins Barbecue, this food truck, they are offering customers a way to ensure that they will get to enjoy their food by giving them the option to purchase seagull insurance. I love this. For about $1 per order, an extra $1 per order, customers get a guarantee that the food truck will replace their meal should an aggressive bird get there before they get a chance to enjoy their food. The owner of the food truck says, I think it's fair to say that many on the island have had one or two traumatic experiences with the island's enthusiastic seagulls. So they decided to come up with a solution. Make sure you ask us for the protection next time you visit and enjoy a delicious barbecue meal stress-free. And not only will customers who purchase the insurance be guaranteed not to leave hungry, they are also will be helping to raise money for a good cause. Proceeds from the insurance will be donated to the local wildlife trust there in that part of the UK to help protect the wildlife in the area, including those pesky seagulls. So that's very nice. I do like that. That's pretty clever. Seagull insurance. I think that should be every food truck on the beach should do that, because I've had that happen. We all have, right? And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You know what all those sci-fi films, how it's the robots that do the dirty work, the things that nobody wants to do? And that's really one of the advantages to automated society and, you know, robots and all of that. They get to do the work that humans don't really want to do. Well, now people are using machines to do the ultimate dirty job, breaking up with someone. This is the latest use of artificial intelligence. Report in on the Metro news site finds growing number of recently single people have used ChatGPT to craft their Dear John or Dear Jane messages to the person they want to break up with. Says one newly minted bachelor. Let's see, it was after the third date I decided I really didn't want to be with her anymore, so I thought the AI chatbot could probably come up with a better way of putting it than I could. And apparently it worked out for this guy. He says that she was not upset. She actually thought it was nice the way he put up, he worded the breakup. And so all's well that ends. I guess this is the big thing now for young people. It's okay to break up via AI. Maybe what we should do is get that AI system that's constructing all of the breakup text messages and hook those people up with the people who are looking for companionship. Not necessarily romantic companionship that we were mentioning earlier, that just needs someone to commiserate with and talk with. We can kind of combine those two things and solve two problems at once. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the key. Somebody should do that. You'll probably make a mint. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly sunny skies today with a high in the mid-70s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 50s. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has tested positive for COVID-19.
As advised by his doctor, he's now planning to work from home for the rest of the week. We're getting this from the governor's office. All of this comes after we just reported to you that our state is seeing a rise in cases and hospitalizations over the past 3 weeks. Plus, the nation seeing its largest summer wave of COVID-19 cases in 2 years.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Get more in this story on our website. Mayors from all across Ohio gathered in Findlay for the Ohio Mayors Alliance regional meeting. Findlay Mayor Christina Mern says mayors from both parties in nearly every corner of the state were in attendance to discuss a range of issues.
We focused on topics like public safety and what is working well to decrease crime in our communities, as well as housing and how we can incentivize development in our communities.
Mayor Mern, along with the mayors of Toledo and Lima, provided remarks at the event, which was held at the Hancock Hotel. The Ohio Mayors Alliance is a bipartisan coalition of mayors in Ohio's 31 biggest cities. Get more in the story on our website. A change could be coming to Ohio laws governing when children can be claimed as dependents on state income tax forms.
In Ohio, right now, parents can claim a child as a dependent for the year that the child was born. A new bill has been introduced by Republican Congressman Gary Click of Vicry in North Central Ohio that would change that to the year the child was conceived. If the parents file separate returns, only the mother can claim the embryo or fetus. Proponents say it helps with pregnancy and newborn care expenses. It also grants personhood to the fetus or embryo, which could present legal issues and further limit women's rights.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. The city of Findlay is letting residents know of road projects that are ongoing this week. Among the projects, South Blanchard Street is closed through traffic from 6th Street to Pearl Street for waterline installation. See the full list of projects in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you know, owning a home is still the American dream, but one that is getting harder and harder to achieve with higher mortgage rates, rising prices, tight inventory. There are already a lot of headwinds for first-time home buyers, and not fully understanding how the process works can make it even more difficult. For example, while most potential homeowners believe the biggest hurdle will be saving for a down payment, the reality is that many buyers are often blindsided by hidden costs. Sarita Battles is with us this morning. She is head of community and affordable lending at Chase. What are some of those hidden costs that we're talking about here?
Yes, I think most time first-time home buyers are only thinking about, again, those rates and then also the down payment. But there are some other fees that are associated with purchasing a home. And those fees are your application fee, processing fee, and then you have fees like appraisal fee, home buyer's insurance, title insurance, inspection cost for the home. And so oftentimes we're not thinking about those fees that are associated with purchasing a home and therefore need to be aware, because a lot of those fees cannot be avoided, but they can be lowered, or you can find some savings in those fees. So when I think about home buyer's insurance and I think about title insurance, those are fees that can be negotiated. So you can kind of shop around to find the best cost associated with title and home buyer's insurance. When I think about like application fee and processing fees, those are fees that are typically charged by the bank or the lender that you're utilizing. And therefore, those fees should also be shopped around, because oftentimes you can find that there are opportunities to save in some of those costs. The last thing that I would say is probably the best thing to do is when you're looking at the cost and fees when purchasing a home, always try to work with your local bank where you have a relationship or the lender that you're working with. That's why it's important to shop around, because a lot of those either banks and or lenders may have down payment assistance programs or closing cost programs that can help you save when it comes to those additional costs that are associated with the home.
Yeah, the last thing we want to do is scare people off when you go through the laundry list of all of the things that can trip people up. But really what I hear you saying is preparation is the key to all of this.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the potential pitfalls that, you know, maybe, again, first-time home buyers would not know to expect, and how to avoid those?
Yeah, I think that the best first-time home buyer is the one that's most prepared.
Right.
And so it's always good to make sure that they're doing the necessary research in order to purchase a home, but also realizing that they don't have to do this by themselves, so that they can avoid any pitfalls. And so oftentimes, I often share with folks to make sure that you surround yourself with subject matter experts. And so when I think about this, if you already have a checking or a savings account, or you have any type of asset account or anything like that, definitely work with your local bank, because you do have a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then make sure that you shop around for other lenders. But again, start with your banker or your lender. In addition to that, also make sure that you surround yourself with a good realtor. And again, when you have this team working with you, then you have some opportunities in that space. And therefore, you will avoid pitfalls like, number one, trying to determine what your qualifications are for buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
Most often we make assumptions around whether or not we're qualified or not, or whether or not our FICO score is the right FICO score, so on and so forth. So therefore, work with your banker or lender to understand what those qualifications are, and to ensure that you're in a space of being able to meet those qualifications.
You know, it also
your banker and your lender can also get you pre-approved.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're pre-approved for a home, when you begin to work with your realtor to go out and search for that home of your dream, then at least you know that you're already pre-approved. So the seller that's selling that home is pretty doggone excited about right. you coming in because you're already pre-approved.
Right.
And so therefore that seller knows that this process is going to be more efficient and effective, and then they can sell that home pretty quickly.
Well, you know,
and then the last thing I would say is don't feel like you have to do this alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest pitfall, is because we go into this space thinking that we have to do all of this work by ourselves. But again, if we surround ourselves with the right people, the bank or the lender and the realtor, we can definitely navigate this process, and they could definitely realize their dream of home ownership.
Yeah, I was going to say, it strikes me that not only will all of that help home buyers, especially first time home buyers, avoid some of the pitfalls and the surprises, but also probably speed up the process considerably.
You got it. You are exactly right. And I think that's the thing about making sure that you're doing your research, making sure that you have that squad around you so that the process can be more efficient, effective, and it definitely operates a little bit faster.
Now, lastly, I want to ask you about this, because typically we think of spring and summer as being the peak time for home shopping, home buying, and so on. And it's true if you look at the data, but you say that there are some significant benefits to buying a home in the fall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think oftentimes we think about spring and summer months because it's sunny. It's nice to go outside and just be able to drive around and shop around for a home. If you have any kids, the kids are out of school,
right.
So you have an opportunity to do it, and the kids can also participate in the process. But I would also say during that time frame, it's a bit more competitive because everybody is thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes in the fall and the winter time, those are the opportunities where it's less competitive. Sellers are eager to sell during that time frame. The kids are in school. And so therefore, you have this opportunity to really work with those sellers that are eager. And oftentimes, you might get a better price for the home. The last thing that I would say is that anytime that you are financially prepared to buy a house, it's always a good time to buy.
Yeah.
So no matter the season, no matter the rate environment, you still have an opportunity to access home ownership.
That's such a good point. The best time to buy is when you are fully prepared to buy. And that's the bottom line in all of this. Sarita Battles, again, is head of community and affordable lending at Chase. You have more resources online to help folks through this process?
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because we do have a lot of online tools that are, and this is the key, free of charge. And so again, we do have that on chase.com/afford. And we have tools and resources from affordability calculators where you can calculate your monthly payment. We have videos and podcasts that will give you like a beginner to buyer experience, where there are testimonials of those that have gone through the home buying process. And then when we talk about down payment assistance again and closing cost assistance, we do provide a home buyer finder assistance tool that will give you some of those down payment assistance and closing cost assistance that are available in your area. And so that's good, because now you don't have to like think about it. You actually have it at your fingertips, where you can see whether or not you're eligible for some of those down payment assistance programs that can make home ownership more affordable for you.
Sarita Battles, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Clevidence is with us, the Findlay Hancock County Public Library, with details on events coming up in the month of September. And it is going to be very busy as things head into and transition into fall. Got a lot of programs, you know, kind of starting up again for the season. Also, you have a collaboration with the University of Findlay.
Yes, I'm really excited about this one. It's a Passport Picnic. That will start in September. So we're going to work with the University of Findlay International students. They'll come in for a lunchtime program, talk about their various cultures, religion, okay. education system,
All right.
Food, entertainment. We'll just get to know a little bit more about their homes and really learn from them.
Is this a youth? Is this a program aimed at youth?
This one's for adults.
For adults,
yes.
Okay.
All right. Feel free to come on your lunch break. Bring your lunch. That's fine.
Okay.
But just sit, eat, and learn.
Yeah, very cool. And there are so many different cultures represented at the University of Findlay.
Oh, that, my goodness, yes.
There's a lot of great information there, a lot of learning about others in the community. I like that.
Yes, and I think so many of them are so passionate about sharing their homelands with us, too.
Yeah. So that will be when? What's the schedule?
The first one is going to be September 19th, so a Thursday at noon.
Okay. So circle that on the calendar. Is that a regular, like a monthly thing?
Yes, that's going to be a monthly program.
All right,
yes.
Very good. So definitely something to circle on your calendar. What else is going on in the month of September?
Well, you know, August, we kind of take a little bit of a break from our children's program as our staff are recovering from summer read, and they are excited to get back to the regular story time schedules in September, starting the week of September 9th. Mm-hmm. So we have our preschool story time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Starter story time for the younger group is Wednesdays and Fridays. And then we also will have our monthly makerspace program again in September. Mm-hmm. Family night treasure hunt at Oakwoods.
Yeah, tell us about this, because this was one that jumped out at me. When I was looking at the September calendar, I thought, now this is going to be an awful lot of fun.
Well, you know, there is a day in September that's International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Okay.
And so when better to have a treasure hunt right within our own park system.
Okay.
So this should be a lot of fun. Fingers crossed the weather cooperates with us for this one.
Absolutely. Because that is at Oakwoods, not actually
it
at the library.
It is at Oakwoods,
At Oakwoods. So a real-life treasure hunt.
Real-life treasure hunt.
Prizes and everything. Yeah. So it's going to be cool. We mentioned the story times. Also should mention that you do story times at the Arlington branch as well. I know sometimes you don't talk very often about that, but...
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. On Wednesdays at 11:15. So again, those are starting that second week of September. The first will be September 11th. They have a different theme every week. It's just a fun time for families in Arlington to get to enjoy story time, too.
So circle that. And it's not just programs for young kids either. You have stuff for teenagers as well.
We do. There's a number of teen game nights that are scheduled in September. So you know, the start of school can be a little bit stressful. Sometimes it's good to just have a chance to unwind. So we look forward to those with our teens. And then also, new school year, it's a good time to stay organized. So there will be a Teen Night Get Organized program on September 10th as well.
Okay.
Kind of talking about time management, organization skills, helping you prioritize your tasks, stay on track this school year.
That is really good information for teenagers when they start to get into those high school years and a little bit more responsibility becomes a challenge sometimes.
There's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're excited to have the family.
Especially these days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Anyway. And you were mentioning who's coming in for that?
Family Resource Center will be joining us for that one.
Very good. You mentioned the Makerspace, and again, I'm just kind of looking at the calendar here, and one of the other ones that jumped out in the Makerspace program is the Lego Mini Golf.
Yes. So,
who doesn't love Legos?
I mean, super mini golf if you're making it out of Legos.
Very cool.
Makerspace is always a phenomenal program. Kids just get in there. If you pop your head in the room when it's happening, it looks like utter chaos. It looks like kids just going all over the place and doing all kinds of things. And in the center of the room will be this very calm presence of our children's librarian. Miss Sarah is phenomenal with these kids. She sets up different stations for them to learn and explore on their own and is always there to guide them and answer questions and get them thinking in new directions. So it's a lot of fun.
The full calendar of events for the month of September is on the webpage.
Absolutely, FindlayLibrary.org.
And is there registration involved or anything that folks need to do to participate in any of these programs?
Some of our programs do require registration. I'm just taking a quick look here. I think our Oakwoods one may.
Okay.
That's
the treasure hunt. Okay.
Yes, but story times... drop in anytime. Okay. And, you know, while we're talking about that, I would mention to parents, you know, sometimes kids have their own ideas about what they want to do, right? And story time might not feel like a good fit for them that day. You might have the great expectations. We're going to come. We're going to participate. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And then your little one's trying to run out the door. And that's okay. We understand. We understand if you need to step out, come back in, just say, nope. Not for us today. That's okay.
You know, I don't know what it is. These little kids sometimes think that they've got a mind of their own.
They do.
I don't know what it is.
Yes.
But no, it's certainly no problem there.
No problem there.
Yeah. Again, the full calendar is on the library's website. Also, at the website, we should mention, because it was just announced here within the last few days, there's details on the website about the community read selection. And this is not coming up until the spring, technically, mm-hmm. but you've already announced the selection this year.
We do announce it early because we get a lot of book clubs that want to schedule that into their yearly reading, and they'll ask. So this year's selection is Gaining Ground by Forrest Pritchard. Okay. It's a memoir of saving the family farm. So we're really excited to use this book as an opportunity to explore our rich agricultural community here in Hancock County.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be one that will certainly resonate with a lot of people, a lot of families.
I sure hope so, and I think it's going to be a really great opportunity for those of us who aren't from farming families to learn a lot more.
That too. So that is a terrific book, and he's actually going to be here in March, right?
He is going to be here in March for a presentation at the Marathon Center.
Okay. More information on the community read, and obviously when we get closer, we'll talk much more about that, but if you want to maybe pick up an early copy.
Yes.
This is, it's not a new release. This has
it's
been out.
It's not a new release. It's been out. There's plenty of copies available at the library.
Okay. So you can get ahead of the game there. And then when March comes along, you read it a second time.
Why not?
No problem. Again, we've got the link up at our webpage to the Findlay Library website. And as we mentioned, we should throw this out here again, because it's back to school time, always a lot of resources to help, homework help and research help and everything that kids may need.
Absolutely. The library card is your most important school supply.
No question. And a lot of online resources.
Absolutely,
as
yes.
Well,
so. You know, Help Now is a fantastic one as you're getting back into that homework group with your kids and you're running into, say, those math problems that you don't really remember how to do anymore. Free live online tutoring that can help you and your child through that homework.
Again, Sarah Klevidens, director of the Findlay Hancock County Public Library, with us this morning talking about things going on in the month of September. Sarah, thanks very much for the update. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Okay, here we go with the odd and unusual side of the headlines. A woman in New York City has been awarded a six-figure settlement after she was evicted from her co-op apartment because of her emotional support parents. Her emotional support parents. U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York has ordered the building owner to pay the complainant $165,000 in damages. It also must pay her $585,000 to purchase her shares in the co-op, above the $500,000 value of similar units in the complex. So this is a big payout that she is getting because she was kicked out of her apartment because of her emotional support parents. The office explains that the woman maintained her parents in her home as emotional support animals to assist with her disabilities and did so without incident until March of 2015 when one of her neighbors began complaining about alleged noise. That's how they put it. Alleged noise. Now, I don't know if you know anything about parrots. I once owned a parrot, and I love the birds. The parrots are just wonderful creatures, incredibly complex, and just wonderful creatures. But they are loud. I mean, make no mistake, they are loud. When I saw that in the press release about their alleged noise, there's nothing alleged about the noise. And we're talking multiple parrots here. When I had our parrot, our neighbors used to talk about the pterodactyl we were keeping in our home. And these birds are loud. They are, despite the New York City Department of Environmental Protection visiting the building 15 times over the course of a year, it issued zero notices of noise violations. I find that hard to believe because they are incredibly loud. After the woman put in a request to keep her parrots as support animals under the Fair Housing Act, the building began eviction proceedings against her. According to the U.S. attorney, this is the largest recovery the Department of Justice has ever obtained for a person with disabilities whose housing provider denied them their right to have an assistance animal. The outcome should prompt all housing providers to consider carefully whether their policies and procedures comply with federal law. It's hard to describe just how loud these birds are, and to have multiple of them. I don't know. I think as much as I love parrots and I feel for this woman and her emotional support parrots, I think I would have to agree that these are not animals you want to keep in an apartment building. Wow. Emotional support animals or not, but $165,000 judgment and they got to buy back her condo. Let's see here. Elsewhere in the broken news from the international file, 36 flights were delayed and more than 200 were canceled. Or, I'm sorry, 36 were canceled, 200 were delayed at an airport in Japan after a pair of scissors went missing from one of the stores near the boarding gates. I guess we shouldn't laugh about this. I mean, that could be, you think somebody maybe stole the scissors and was going to board an airplane? Yeah, that would be a problem. For over 2 hours this past weekend, security checks at the Hokkaido New Chitose Airport terminal, the airport terminal, security checks were suspended, leaving hundreds of travelers temporarily stranded. After more than 2 hours of a delay, and again, 36 flights canceled, operations resumed later in the day on Saturday, even though the scissors still hadn't been located at that point. They figured, well, we've done everything we can. We'll just let them board. Even, what would you have done if somebody actually had the scissors boarding an airplane? The scissors, fortunately, were located by one of the store's workers. Then on Sunday, they had not been stolen. They had just been misplaced. But wow, there'd be some anxious moments there at the airport. Can see where that would cause some anxiety, some consternation among employees and passengers and security officials. Thank goodness they got that straightened out. Nothing came of it. This is our story out of South Florida today. There's always something going on in Florida that's weird. 55-year-old man. Now, this is weird on a couple of different levels. 55-year-old man is now facing a felony charge in South Florida for impersonating a pizza delivery driver, a pizza delivery guy. Police say the man ran an elaborate scheme to defraud tourists who were staying in local hotels in Miami Springs by pretending to be a pizza shop. According to authorities, customers thought they were ordering pizzas from Roman's Pizzeria, which is an actual place, but instead they were getting something very different from Jose Marti Alvarez. Police say that Mr. Alvarez distributed fake pizza flyers to hotel rooms near Miami International Airport, misleading visitors who were placing orders with a false phone number. They would call him, and then he would respond, and obviously he had other intentions other than delivering pizza. The scheme had been going on for several years, the story says. So how they just now caught on to this after several years, I'm not sure. Mr. Alvarez charged with aggravated battery. But here's the thing. This was incredibly elaborate. I mean, he had to have these flyers printed up with his fake phone number, distribute those to the hotels, and then, you know, respond to the calls. If he put that same energy into just, I don't know, finding a job, maybe, it would have been much better. I mean, clearly he has a solid work ethic. It's hard to believe that he couldn't find a legitimate job. I don't know, maybe as a pizza delivery driver? That kind of work ethic, you'd probably make pretty good money on tips. Just something to think about there, I guess. Let's see. From California, family is suing a hospital in Sacramento, accusing workers there of misplacing a woman's body after she died and never informing the family of her death. That's a big oops. Family of 31-year-old Jesse Peterson had been on a year-long missing persons search. Year-long missing persons search. It turns out that Jesse had passed away at Mercy San Juan Medical Center, and her body was shipped to a cold storage facility. Nobody ever informed the family about it. The suit claims all this happened even though Ms. Peterson had next of kin information in her medical records. Family is seeking $15 million in punitive damages. The attorneys for the hospital and the family plan to meet in court next month. Wow. That's crazy. And finally, in the broken news, a year-long search, thinking she was a missing person. All the time she was, and passed away. And finally, in the broken news this morning, story of a woman arrested at an Applebee's restaurant in Indiana after a misunderstanding about the restaurant's all-you-can-eat policy. So here's the story. 28-year-old woman was sitting at a table with a group of individuals who all seemed to believe that Applebee's $15.99 offer of endless boneless wings, riblets, double crunch shrimp, and fries applied to not just one person, but the entire table. Yeah, they're going to feed an entire table's worth of people for $15.99. But they said, no, we thought it applied to the entire table. Yeah. That led to a fight between the group of individuals and the waiter. The group failed to notice the words per person clearly written in bold letters on the menu, according to the arrest report. Yes, police were called in because of this dispute. Apparently, the clearly marked $15.99 per person disclaimer on the menu did not seem to faze the woman, who continued to be very loud and disorderly despite attempts by others in the group to get her to be quiet. She was eventually arrested, and the others in her group eventually realized their mistake and agreed to pay the bill in full. But because she was being the loudest Karen in the room, she got a trip to jail. Yeah, $15.99, they're going to feed the whole table. Man. There you go. That is today's broken news report. Odd and unusual side of the headlines, to be sure. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This Wednesday night, we start a new season of The Coach's Corner, presented by The Granary Gifts and Furniture. I'm John Marshall, and I'll be talking with Findlay Trojan football coach Stephen Adams, Findlay Oiler athletic director Jim Givens, and high school football coaches, including Ethan Purser from Van Buren. The Coach's Corner, presented by The Granary Gifts and Furniture, live from Ralphie's, this Wednesday night at 6, here on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now, your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, things go right. Everything seems to go wrong. Nothing go right. You just had one of those days. I have to admit, I had one of those days on Monday. It started off fine, but it went downhill fast. And a new survey of 2,000 Americans finds that the average person has 4 bad days a month. 4 bad days a month, which doesn't sound like that many, actually, but if you total it up, it's 48 days a year, or a month and a half of bad days annually, when you put it that way. And I'm just thinking here, when I saw this 4 bad days a month, it's probably no coincidence that there, in most months, are 4 Mondays in a month. So you see where we're going with this. For 26% of those in the survey, when something goes sideways in the morning, the rest of the day is doomed. Mornings set the tone for the remainder of the day. And the top five morning mishaps that signal a bad day. Waking up feeling sick was number one in the survey. 35% say if you wake up and you don't feel well, you know it's going to be a bad day. Sleeping poorly throughout the night. 31% say that is a surefire sign that the next day is going to be a bad day. Waking up with a headache was cited by 29% of those in the survey. A sure sign that things are going to go sideways. Losing your keys. Not being able to find your car keys when you're rushing to get out the door. Especially if you have overslept or, you know, something like that. If you're already in a bad way and then you can't find your keys. 26% cited losing their keys as a sign that it's going to be a bad day. And forgetting your phone at home. Have you ever gotten to work and realized that you forgot to grab your phone? 25% say that's a surefire sign of a bad day. Other common irritants that can lead to a morning setback or potentially bad days, including finding out there was no toilet paper on the roll. First thing in the morning, 22% said that is a trigger. Forgetting your wallet at home. There's anything worse than forgetting your phone is forgetting your wallet at home. 22% pointed at that. And oversleeping. I actually overslept this morning a little bit. I got a late start. I mean, still here on time, but yeah. Oversleeping, 18% say that is a sign of a bad day. Bottom line is this, and this is maybe the most important takeaway from the survey. Again, we say that having something go wrong in the morning, first thing in the morning, is a trigger for a bad day. That's, you know, when you know that things are going to go off the rails. The average American, according to the survey, knows they're going to have a bad day by 8:36 a.m. It's a very specific time. They boiled it down, crunched the numbers, and 8:36 a.m. is the tipping point. If you can make it to 8:36 without things going haywire, then you can avoid the bad day. But if it 8:35, no, it's not good enough. It's going to be a bad day. 8:36 is your time that you know it's going to be a bad day or not. So as we were mentioning yesterday, you may remember it is Clear the Shelters Month. Actually, I think runs through September 10th. The idea to encourage animal adoption. And as it happens, the Hancock County Humane Society certainly has plenty of pets waiting for new homes. Natalie Reffitt is here from the Humane Society. Natalie, thanks very much. Who'd you bring with
you? Good morning. So this is Dio.
Okay.
Dio is a Yorkie, and he is about 8 years old. He came to us because his owner had to go to a care facility.
Okay.
So that is why he's with us. He did come with a few first siblings that have been adopted.
Okay.
And so he is waiting for his home.
And he is absolutely adorable. A lot of smaller dogs tend to be a little shy, a little apprehensive.
Yes.
Just because of their size. It's a real big world
for
a tiny dog.
It is a very big world.
And he does seem like he will need a little bit of time to warm up to his new surroundings.
Absolutely. He's going to need an owner with some patience.
Mm-hmm.
We think he's probably going to thrive in a quieter home.
Okay.
So a quieter home, like someone that's not, that doesn't have like five people coming in and out, friends mm-hmm. in and out all the time.
So either. This would be good for maybe a couple without kids or a single individual looking
yes,
for a companion.
Absolutely.
And you're going to fall in love with him. I mean, the ears are just absolutely adorable with the one kind of kinked over and all of that.
He's so flubbed. He is so cute. He really is a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he's still, like you said, it's a very big world for him. And he was used to having his mom as his world.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed when he came to the shelter.
Yeah.
Very loud, different smells. So.
Yeah. And so he's probably still very confused.
He
by
is.
All of this.
So he is still adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested in adopting, you can visit our website at www.hancockhumanesociety.com. You can always stop out at the shelter at 4550 Fosteria Avenue. located here in Findlay. And then, like you said, it is clear the shelters. And sometimes people think that that means, like, any pet is a fit for everyone.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, and folks remember during the pandemic when, you know, those images of, you know, empty kennels as everybody wanted to adopt a pet because we were all locked down and we needed companionship.
Yes.
Now the shelters are full again, but it is about more than, I mean, you can walk up and down the aisles and, you know, fall in love with every animal.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a great fit.
That is correct. Every pet is not going to be a match for everyone.
Yeah.
Just like Dio. Like, Dio would fit in well at my house because it's just me and my husband and, well, maybe my cat might say otherwise, but a very quiet home.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, a puppy, like one of the more active, larger dogs at the shelter would not be a match for me because I'm not home a lot. I'm not going to, you know, I can't just carry that big dog with me where I could with a small pet.
Mm-hmm.
You really do have to look at your lifestyle and the pet.
So that's part of the process, actually, right?
Yes, it absolutely is. So we do have you fill out an application. And then with the application, we're kind of seeing what you're interested in. Some of the questions are like, do you have time to potty train or do you want to house train?
Mm-hmm.
If that's an absolute no, then you're not going to want to get a younger dog that needs potty train.
Yeah.
And sometimes people do get upset with us, but it really isn't anything personal.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look out for the pets, and we want them to ultimately stay in their forever home.
Absolutely. You know, along those same lines, it's kind of interesting, you're talking about making matches with the right animal and the right family situation. We're coming up in back to school time now, and especially for an animal that may be particularly close to kids in the household, suddenly they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And so that can be an adjustment for pets.
It can absolutely be an adjustment for pets. Sometimes the pets will eventually the pets are going to get used to the schedule, like the bus schedule, or they're coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first, you know, little bit, they're probably going to be wandering around the house. They might even be extra talkative. So you might want to give them some extra things to do, like to keep them busy, like some puzzle toys, some Kongs. Maybe leave out some, if they have a favorite kid, maybe leave out some of their favorite kids, like clothes or shoes, just to kind of, you know, like they're still around.
So that they know that they're coming back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And I wonder, we often talk that we're coming up, you know, before long, the holiday season will be here, and maybe that's not the best time sometimes to adopt. But really, any time you could say, you know, maybe it's not a good time.
Right.
You know, this time of the year, schedules are getting a little crazy. People are going all kinds of different directions and so on. So again, keeping these things in mind, not just when deciding what animal to adopt, but when to adopt
would
be.
Yes, definitely keep that in mind. Because like you said, if you're coming back to school, you have to figure in, you have to allot the extra time for the taking care of the pet along with taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
So as long as you kind of allot that time, then you should be good. It's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And you should always, always have patience when you are getting a new pet. Because it is not going to be perfect right away. There is going to be an adjustment period. And there could be times where you're like, why? But it definitely, like, after you put the work in, the patience, the time, you're going to be like, okay, this is why.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in Dio's case, he's got a lot of love to give.
Yes,
you can just tell that he is an absolute sweetheart once he kind of warms up and understands what the routine is and, you know, all of that, who these new people are. But he's absolutely adorable. It's not just dogs, by the way. You've got all kinds of animals.
We do. Right now we only have cats, but yes, absolutely. We oftentimes have other small animals. But right now we just have dogs and cats. And yes, the cats are looking for homes too.
Mm-hmm.
And cats, just like dogs, like sometimes people don't realize that cats definitely have personality.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of cats right now, like two off the top of my head. We have a cat named Gato, who's very social, loves to talk. He would probably fit in just about any house.
Yeah.
And his neighbor's name is Shelf. And Shelf is very shy. He actually has a similar personality to Dio, where it's going to take patience and time. He's not just going to come right out. we were, a volunteer was visiting with him yesterday, and one of the doors opened or shut, and Shelf's eyes got humongous, like, uh-oh. And then the volunteer was visiting with Gato later, and Gato was just talking, like, oh, hey, who are you? So they have absolutely different personalities.
You know, the other thing that people don't realize sometimes about cats, because they tend to be more self-sufficient, and, you know, you don't have to walk them. If you're going to go away for a day or whatever, they can be on their own. But they don't like to be left alone either. I mean, they're...
Correct.
Just like dogs are social, and cats are as well.
Yes.
And we think of them differently, but they do miss you when you're gone.
Yes, so. They absolutely do. And like you said, they're more independent as far as, like, you don't have to take them outside. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to take them on walks.
Yeah.
But you do still have to give them fresh water daily, give them fresh food. And
give them attention.
Attention, affection, mm-hmm. play with them. Yes, they don't just want to just be there. I mean, a lot of them do like just being with you, but there are some that require, like, stimulation, mm-hmm. like playing and puzzle toys.
Again, all of this is part of the process of adoption, and folks can reach out if they are interested in learning more.
Yes, you can. You can always call the shelter at 419-423-1664. You can stop out at the shelter, 4550 Fosteray Avenue, or you can visit our website at www.hancockhumanesociety.com.
Very good. And again, a reminder as we head back to school to cut your pets some slack because this change of schedule is going to be a little disruptive for them. So it may take them a little time to get used to that and settle into the new normal. Again, Natalie Ruffett with us from the Hancock County Humane Society. Thanks very much for dropping
by.
We appreciate it. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests of the two- and four-legged variety for joining us this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, get your pink on and show your support for those who are in the fight. It's the Cancer Patient Services Flock Walk and 5K 2024. We'll get details. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.